Oh, precious Father, we thank you so much for the honor we have of coming together as family and coming before your throne, our loving Father. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and grace, for your loving kindness, for your tender mercy, for your goodness, for you are so good. And Father, we thank you that you are revealing your goodness to your people and to the world. It's all around us. We see your goodness wherever we go. The world doesn't recognize it, but it's there every time they take a drink of water, every time they take a breath of air, every time they see the wind blowing leaves, every time they see another person. Lord, they see your glory. They don't even know it. Amen. But Father, we thank you that you're revealing yourself to a hurting world. And Father, we thank you that we have a part to play in that revelation to the world. Thank you for tonight and for this Bible study. Lord, I know that this is treasure. I know that your word is treasure. I know that you're trying to reveal your heart to your people. Whoever will take a few minutes and listen, you'll show yourself mighty. Father, I'm so blessed for those that come. I'm so blessed for those that receive these messages and others like them from other people around the world, people we will never meet in this life. But they're part of who we are, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight's message is part two of the fruit of the Spirit, meekness. This is part two, and there will be one more fruit of the Spirit to go. So we'll start with our little introductory statement. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and is diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. They habitually exercise the fruit of meekness and gentleness in their walk with God and man. Last week when we closed, we were talking about pride and humility, so I'm going to briefly mention just a few points that we made and a couple of the scriptures, and then we'll move on to tonight because they are connected. And it's so easy to miss something that we need to hear when there's a whole week gone by. A prideful person is so self-centered that they will have a hard time with walking in the fruit of meekness or gentleness. They will have a hard time humbling themselves before God and man. It's sad to say that, but if you yourself, I know I did it one time, I try not to function there anymore, but we know people, maybe ourselves, hopefully not now, that do walk a prideful life. We may not even identify it as pride, but if we ask the Holy Spirit, He will show us. One thing about pride, it's always self-centered. It's always elevating, you're lifting yourself up. Mm-hmm. Some people have to encourage themselves because they've had problems and issues. That's not what I'm talking about. This person walks through life, he needs no one. He's self-sufficient. And that can be good in a way if you can be humble at the same time. That's not the pride I'm talking about. This person, nobody's as good as they are. They know more than anybody else. They don't need anybody to help them in anything. And whatever they do, they know better than the other person. They exalt themselves in whatever is going on around them. But the person that's meek and gentle, the walking in the meekness of God is not that way. He knows he's okay. He may know he has those abilities and everything's fine with him. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't promote it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't put himself out there in front of everybody else saying, look at me. He still walks the humble life. He's not trying to be somebody. He is somebody. And there's a difference. Yeah. You are somebody in Christ. You don't have to try to be in Christ if you're born again. God will lift us up. far higher than we could do ourselves. God's mercy and grace is living in and through us. He put His Spirit in us, and it's the Holy Spirit and the Word that lifts us up to a higher place. Jesus even said, he that loves this life, he will lose it. He that loses his life will gain it. That's what humility is. That's what being humble is. That's what meekness is. You care more about the other person than you do yourself. Because why? Because you know God cares for you. Amen. You don't have to take care of yourself as far as pride and promoting yourself and pushing your way through. You don't have to do that. You get further by seeing to it that the other person is blessed. That's what the love walk does. Then God takes you around the shortcut to the promotion. And you'll get farther being humble and being meek in your life, walking right with God and loving Him, and let Him take care of your path. You just make decisions based on what He tells you. You're not after promoting yourself. That's the main thing. You don't have to. Pride promotes itself. So, a prideful person is so self-centered, he doesn't think of anybody else but himself. He's so self-centered that they will have a hard time with walking in the fruit of meekness and gentleness. They will have a hard time humbling themselves before God and man. They see meekness and being humble and gentle as a weakness. And it's one of the most powerful things there is, because it's love-based. That's why the fruit of the Spirit includes that there's no law that can bring a judgment against it. No law that can stop it. It's above the law of this world. It's spiritual. It's got a spiritual law. It is a spiritual law. Meekness, gentleness, and humility are closely related. They are direct opposites of pride and self-centeredness or selfishness. If you find a person walking in self-centeredness or selfishness, he's full of pride. He will not be gentle or meek or humble. And if you're not gentle or meek and humble, you can't even come to the Lord. Because you have to humble yourself to get there. So, meekness displaces pride. But the thing about pride, it comes before the fall. And that's not something that is a maybe. You will fall when you walk in pride. It's guaranteed. If you walk your life being self-centered, selfish, and prideful, look at me, you will fall. It's just a matter of time. You will fall. Let's look at Proverbs 16:18. I like this. This is a New King James, and I like the way it says it here. Pride goes before destruction. Some says pride goes before a fall. And a haughty spirit before a fall. A haughty spirit is a prideful person. They're talking about the same thing. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. A spoil would be something like you're in war and you conquer somebody and you get everything they have. You're in a fight with somebody and you take what they have. In some way, you steal what they have, the spoil. Doesn't mean that spoil and stinks. It means it doesn't belong to you. Mm. You took something that was somebody else's by force. So it says, even though you fought here and in your pride and your arrogance, you conquered mm-hmm. that person. And you took what he had. You won't have it long. It's like having a bag full of stuff that has a hole in the bottom of the bag. It's going to run out. You will not succeed with that, even though it looks like you did for a short time. you will lose what you take that way. And that's what the scripture is saying. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly, those that don't have anything. That's better than to be up here with pride and divide the spoil. For one thing, when you divide the spoil, that other proud person is going to take yours. You get four proud people together, can they work together? They can't function together. Because each one of them thinks they're better than the other one. They're walking in pride. And they're going to fail because they're divided. But this lowly person over here, this humble person, this down here with these other people that maybe they don't have much, maybe they don't, they're just lowly people, they will work together. They will help one another. They will be more loving towards one another because they're all in the same boat. They need each other. But this pride person doesn't need anybody, he thinks. But when he gets down the road, he'll find out that he's alone. He has nothing. Everything that he thought he had, he lost because of pride. Now he's got to somehow change his lifestyle. He's going to have to be humble in order to get anywhere. But it will be a hard road to hoe. Mm-hmm. This other guy that's just walking that way as a lifestyle, he has no trouble with it. Mm-hmm. He walks right through the time of famine and drought and problems around him. He walks right through it. And in the meantime, while he's walking through it, he's helping other people. That's what meekness does. And humbleness. A humble person will take everything he has and give it to somebody else so that they prosper, knowing that God's given him what he needs. James chapter 4 and verse 6. These two we read last week. But I thought it was important that we bring them back out tonight. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's such an important scripture. This proud person we were talking about, one of the reasons they don't prosper is because they cannot walk in love. They're full of pride. And because they cannot walk in love, God resists them. So they're, in other words, they're on their own. You say you're Mr. Hotshot and you can do it all by yourself. God can't help you. You're doing it yourself. You have no, you don't need anybody. Occasionally, you'll get somebody to help you, but you'll wind up taking what they have or hurting them in some way. Yeah. Because you're full of pride. That unity won't last very long. But here it says that God gives grace to the humble. Oh man, I want God's grace working in my life. God's grace, the Amplified here in that verse says, James chapter 4, verse 6, Amplified Classic. But he gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit, to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why, he says, God sets himself against the proud and the haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. See, you have to be humble to receive God's grace. You're proud and you're having a little trouble. And look, God, I need this. Give it to me. Mm-hmm. That's what the proud person would say, similar to that. Mm-hmm. You owe me, God. You know, God don't owe you nothing. Mm-hmm. He gave you everything. And you're slapping it away. Mm-hmm. But now you have need, so you come running to him and expect him to just lay over and give it to you. You have no relationship. The grace of God is poured out upon all mankind, but you have to receive that grace, and you can't do it with a haughty spirit. You have to receive the grace humbly. That's the only way you can come to him. But I like it. It says here, those who are humble enough to receive it. You have to be humble to receive this grace. Like anything else that God gives, you have to be humble to get to it. Psalm 147, verse 6. We'll only be there a minute. Just stay in James chapter 4, because we're coming right back. Psalm 147, verse 6. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. So if you're humble, He's going to lift you up. We'll see that in another scripture here in James chapter 4, verse 10. Says basically the same thing. Same chapter, just a couple verses down from verse 6. Humble yourselves. Now, who does the humbling? I've heard people pray for God to humble them. God, you humble that person over there. He's not going to do it. He will put himself in such a place that the guy will need to come humbly to the Lord. But God didn't put him there. He put himself there. Pride put him there. So now he has to come humbly to receive. But God didn't humble him. But it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Same thing, basically, Psalm 147, 6 says, the Lord lifts up the humble. You come to him humbly, he lifts you up. You know, he can take us further with us being lowly and humble than we ever could take ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He can promote us and take us into things that there's no way we would even have thought of that. But by being humble and meek as a lifestyle, he promotes us. He puts us in the way of favor. Psalm 5 says he encompasses us about with favor, like a shield. And I love that. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves. Again, like James. James said, humble yourselves. Peter's saying the same thing. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, that's three witnesses of the same thing. Psalm 147, verse 6, James chapter 4, verse 10, 1 Peter 5, verse 6. All said, humble yourself, and God will lift you up. He will exalt you. Pride exalts itself. A person that lives a proud life, you will always hear him or her talking about their great accomplishments. How they did so much more than anybody else. Well, it may be true, but a person that's walking in meekness and gentleness and walking in love would not do that. You may say something, I see, it's just wonderful what you did here. Oh, yeah, the Lord gave me the wisdom to do that. And I'll help you do it. That's what a meek person would do. He wants the other person to be promoted. He's not going to talk about his great accomplishments. If he does it all, he does it honoring God. Because he knows that he couldn't do it on his own. That's so exciting to me. That really is to me. Meekness opens the door for God's blessings. Think about that. Meekness, gentleness, being humble, opens the door for God's blessings. So what shuts the door?
Pride.
Pride shuts the door to God's blessings. Meekness and humbleness opens the door. Meekness will cause you to walk in the blessings of God. It won't be a one-time thing because this is habitual with you. You're doing it because you want to. You are loving your Father. You're being an expression of His love through you to others. You know you are deeply loved and dearly prized by God. You know he laid his life down for you. You know He gave this manual of life to you so that you can live. You know that. You know that Jesus died on that cross and went to hell for you. You know that he was raised from the dead. You know that he sent the Holy Spirit who lives inside you because you're born again. You know that. You know that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Meekness will help you walk in the reverential fear of the Lord where there is no want. Now, you might lack a little something here or over there, especially if you're wanting that biggest TV in town. You know, that's not guaranteed. Or a Mercedes-Benz. No. My little old tracks out there will go as far, if not further, than the Mercedes-Benz, and a lot cheaper. You know, and I'm happy with it. I don't need a Mercedes. But meekness will help you walk in the reverential fear of the Lord where there is no want. Why? Because you're one with him. He's pouring his goodness out on and through you. You'll go through troubles and problems and issues. Yes. But that's what he gave you faith for. You're supposed to take this word, declare it, and receive the answer he already gave. He didn't leave you out or miss that. He put the answer right here in this book. And he gave you eyes to see it.
Amen.
And the ability to read. All you have to do, he probably even gave you the book itself. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is open it and allow God to teach you. He will show you how to walk out of that. Take a little time. But that builds your faith.
Yeah.
And your trust in him. Proverbs 22:4. This is a good one. It goes right along with what I just said. Proverbs 22:4 says, "The reward of humility and the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life."
Amen.
You're truly not rich unless you have life. Truly not rich unless you're walking in honor. God puts you in that place of honor. Your pride didn't. You walking in pride will put you in a place of dishonor. You may even be elevated to a place where they look at you. So look at him. I knew you'd agree with me. I'm something else, am I not? You know, they may lift you up a little bit, but it won't last long. That honor is superficial. It's carnal. It's satanic, really. The devil's put you in that place. That's why he gave you that pride. And you took it and walking in it. And it's demonic. And it's putting you in a place where you don't want to be. And it's stealing the life of God from you. It's sucking the life out of you and you don't even know it. And that's where pride puts you. It cuts your life short. But when you walk in the reverential fear of God and you're walking in gentleness and meekness and humbleness with your life based on his word, it'll extend your life. That's what it says here. That's why I like the way it puts it. He didn't just say he's going to make you wealthy. And he really didn't say that even when it says riches. Riches covers a lot of area. Mother and I talk all the time about how wealthy we are. We have each other. We have an awesome family. We got an awesome grandchild. We got awesome friends we know. Yes, things are paid off. But we don't have a lot, but it's paid for. But it took a lifetime to get there. Praise God, but he gave it to us.
Amen.
Gave us all we needed to get to where we are. He gave us his loving word. We're wealthy.
Amen.
We are wealthy. All of us sitting here are wealthy.
Amen, amen, amen.
But we don't realize it sometimes how wealthy we really are.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's so much more to wealth than money.
No. Yeah.
Actually, if you get really down to it, biblically, money is way down the list of wealth.
Yeah.
It's way down there. a guy in Africa might have a cow, the only one in town, and he's wealthy.
Yeah.
You're not sick, you're wealthy. Mm-hmm.
There's many places, especially in the Old Testament, where if the word is translated prosperity in some places, the very same word is translated as wisdom.
Yes, it is.
Or some other such thing, you know. It doesn't mean dollars and cents. It means everything's going good for you.
Yeah.
You know, even if you have no money at all,
you're
blessed.
Nothing. Your needs are met, and you're walking in love. You're loved. You have good family. There's so much more to wealth than just money. If that's what the rich young ruler had a problem with. He'd done everything, the word says, that the law, Jesus asked him about this, and this. And he said, I've done all that since I was a child. Mm-hmm. And it says, then Jesus loved him. Why? Because he was telling the truth. He had done all of that. But then he says, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have. That was not good because he had a lot of wealth. And then come back and follow me. And you'll have true riches in heaven. I want them now. He couldn't do that. It says he walked away sad. Because he had great wealth. Jesus didn't say he would be poor. He said you'd have true riches. You know, there's a difference between having wealth and being wealthy. Mm-hmm. And another a guy was going to tear down all his barns because he had so much. He couldn't put them all in his barns.
Wow.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. Soul, he's talking to himself, you have all of your needs met for many years, I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. But what did God say to him? You fool. Tonight, your soul will be required of you.
And you also see so many of the ultra-wealthy, your rock stars and your actors and this, that, and the other, they have more money than they could even know what to do with. But they wind up so destitute, emotionally unfulfilled, that they, you know, they...
It eats them alive.
Suicide and
you get on drugs and stuff. Somebody was telling how he met some people in Hollywood, and they had a lot of these girl models in this company or project or whatever they were doing. And he said these women were so beautiful and so perfect. They were just perfect. Their makeup was perfect. Their clothing, everything was just so perfect. And they were the most insecure people he'd ever met in his life, and depressed and scared. He said you couldn't even get conversation out of some of them because all they were concerned about was if they gained a half a pound or something, you know?
Yeah, it's so short-lived. It's short. 20 years, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a long time for something like
that. But Nate is right. You can look at wealthy people that's really got wealth. And see how destitute they really are. Especially in their time when they're alone. They have to go to all these big places just to feel a little secure. That they're important in some way.
Yeah, this one preacher was telling us about, and I don't know who this person is, some very famous musician of some kind. Yeah, I think he said he was from Sweden or someplace.
Yeah.
And he outbid Beyonce for a mansion in Hollywood. It was like 70-some million dollars or something, you know. And I'm like, man, you can build a lot of little houses for people, for homeless people, with 70-some million dollars.
Had tons of bathrooms.
But, he had 16 bathrooms 16, in that house. And it's like, why? You know?
That's stupid. Why? Right.
Why?
But
he sat in that great big house and there was nobody there. He was lonesome. He didn't have a dog or nothing. And you just, what's the point, you know?
The only friends you have is those who want your money.
Yeah.
And they'll kill you to get it. Now, I'm not talking about not having money. Not having, you know, riches
your
of some kind.
But that's not true wealth.
That's not true wealth.
Mm-mm.
You want true wealth. You have the money. The money doesn't have you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference. Abraham was one of the wealthy men around of his time, and so was Job. God's not against wealth. As a matter of fact, it says it brings him joy to prosper his servants.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, how much more his sons and daughters.
Amen.
It brings God joy to prosper his people. But define wealth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in what you have. It's what you do with what you have that makes the difference. So, I don't know how we got off on that. We did. So, Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility and the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. Notice it put both of them there.
Mm-hmm.
The reward of being humble.
Mm-hmm.
You can be humble and not be reverently and worshipfully fearing the Lord. And your humility is stupid. It doesn't do anything. But if you put the two together, you walk a humble life, the reward of humility and the reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. Glory to God. Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord, here it is. One of the things that God takes pleasure in. The Lord takes pleasure in those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. In those who hope in his mercy and loving kindness. Notice how it put reverently and worshipfully fear. The Lord takes pleasure. In other words, this is something that's important to him. He doesn't just want the worship because he's being prideful. God is not prideful. It doesn't say, okay, you don't want to worship me. That's not what it is. When you worship him, you get the blessing. See, it puts you in a place to receive. It puts a flow between God's heart and yours. And that's what it is. That's why. He wants to be able to connect with you. So when he's asking for worship, he's asking for the honor to bless you. He wants it. When you worship him, you get the benefit. He gets the benefit too. But he sees to it that you get a whopping benefit. Because you're connecting with his heart. Next one, Psalm 34, verse 9. This is New King James. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. And that fear, again, is reverently worship. Reverently worshipful fear of him. So there is no want. Why? Because you're in constant connection with him. You're being humble and meek, and you're receiving from him. You're laying your life down for others. His blessings are flowing through you to others. So it blesses you in the process. There's no want to you. No want to you because every time a want comes up, he meets it. Isn't that awesome? God is a good God. Now Psalm 37, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You know, peace is wealth. It really is. You can't put a monetary value on it. But it's a treasure. God's peace moving in your heart and through you is a treasure. Peace is also a fruit of the Spirit. There's no law against it. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Now what is shall? That's an absolute. What would I want with this thing? It didn't say inherit the world. It said inherit the earth. And there's a difference between the two. When you say the world, you're talking about this worldly system.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about what man's done and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about the earth, you're talking about God's creation.
Natural.
And they're different. Most people don't realize there's a difference between the world and the earth. When God, but see, God's specific on that. Earth is one thing, world is another. It takes diligence. What I said. That word goes right along with commitment, doesn't it? It's a hard word. It takes diligence to walk a meek, gentle, and humble lifestyle. It's not something that's just going to happen. You're meeting those things that are coming against you with a humble, meek, and gentle spirit. No matter what, how they're coming to you. We talked about that last week. You must aim at and be diligent for the fruit of the Spirit to flow in and from your life. All of these fruits, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, you have to walk a humble life and be meek and be diligent to walk them. Mm-hmm. But they're God's ways. And he put them inside of us so that we can. Now, actually, if He put Himself in us, His people, and gave them to us along with His Word, don't you think He's holding us responsible for those things? He's holding us responsible to walk in them. Because that's where He gets glory. He gets that glory, and it flows through us to others. Man, that's good stuff. Well, what is diligence? Well, here's what the dictionary says. The quality of working carefully and with a lot of effort. See, if you're not putting effort into something, you're not being diligent. It means you don't work a little while and stop and go sit down and then decide later, well, I better get a little more done. No, you're diligent. The quality of working carefully and with a lot of effort. Study application in business of any kind. Constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Exertion of body or mind without unnecessary delay or sloth. Due attention. Industry. Assiduity. I'm going to spell that.
Assiduity.
I highlighted it and had the computer speak it, and I'm close, okay? I don't use that word very much. Assiduity.
Assiduity.
Okay.
It means you're assiduous.
Well, I was going to say what that means because I didn't know what it meant.
Yes,
it means great care and attention to detail.
Okay.
So that's all a part of being diligent. You take great care in what you're doing. You're putting yourself into it. You mean business. So this person can walk a humble life. But you have to do that. You have to be diligent in order to walk a humble and meek life. It means you're serious about what you're doing. When you make a mistake, and you will, you go to the Father and repent, and He washes it all away as if you never did it. 1 John 1:9.
I always tell, never mind. Oh, well, it's a funny thing.
Hold that thought.
I think John Osteen said this.
Oh, well.
About the guy they voted to be the most humble guy in the church, and they gave him a little button or a pin or something to for it.
Uh-huh.
And then they took it away from him because he wore it.
Oh,
but that's a good example. Now he's proud of his bad, so he took. That is a good example of how easy it is to slip over into something.
Poor guy.
Okay, we're just about done, folks. Psalm 25, verse 9 to 14. This is New King James. The humble He guides in justice. Wow. And the humble He teaches His way. Who teaches His way? He does. The humble He guides in justice, or what is right. And the The humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Notice he says he teaches you his way, then he tells you what his way is. All the path, if it's a way, it's a path, right? So if it's a way, it's a path. So then he says, all the paths. So all the paths the Lord's going to lead you on, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. To such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord, or reverently, worshipfully fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. So here, see, if I'm walking through life and I got decisions to make, I don't understand how things are going, or what I need to do, that's a good scripture. He teaches you the way to choose. He teaches you. That's good stuff. Who is the man that fears the Lord, or reverently, worshipfully fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, or reverently, worshipfully fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You know, God wants to show us his covenant. But what that scripture there tells me, he can't do it unless I come to him humbly and receive it. Then he can teach me his covenant. And that's so important to us. Meekness has a submissiveness in it that is necessary for our walk with God. When God speaks to us, we will submit to what he says, even if it is something that we do not want to do. Like forgive a person who has wronged us. So many of us don't want to do that. But because we're humble and we're walking in meekness and we know that it's right to do it, the word says that he cannot forgive me unless I forgive. When I know all of that, and as part of the love walk, I will choose to do it even if I don't want to. The humble and meek person will do it anyways. Has nothing to do with what I feel like. I will do it because it pleases the Father. The quality of meekness comes to our aid in our obedience to God. A meek or gentle person will allow themselves to be corrected, especially by God in the Word. It helps us to maintain a peaceful and submissive spirit unto the Lord. Now, God will correct us. He will correct us. But sometimes we overlook the correction. We ignore it, and we shouldn't. And his correction is always for our benefit. It always is. If I'm not forgiving somebody, he's going to correct me there. I'm going to know I should. But I can ignore that. He'll let me choose to ignore it, but I'm cutting the blessing off there. And that's bad. That's a bad deal. Meekness will cause a person to obey God and to submit when he corrects us. The last one is Proverbs 12:1, and it's real short, so you can go there if you want to. But whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid.
That's pretty clear.
Huh?
That's pretty plain.
I mean, Proverbs is kind of plain. It puts it right down to the word. Yeah. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. That includes when dad's correcting you. Because dad has knowledge you don't have. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this meal. Thank you, Father, for this meal of the word. Thank you for the time that we've had tonight together. Thank you for the nourishment that this word brings to our spirit man, the life that it brings. Thank you for opening our eyes to these things. Lord, I know you want to teach us. You want to. That's hard for us to comprehend. You want us to know this. And you've done everything you can to put us in a position to know it. Now it's our turn to want to know. Well, Father, I can't speak for anybody else, but I love your word, and I want to know. I want to know, and I want to walk humbly before you, Lord, to love you with all of my heart. And I know these people with me, I'm sure, want the same thing. We want to walk in your ways, O Lord. Thank you for these messages that we've had all these, over a year now, that we've studied this. Thank you, Father, that it's not just something that ends. It's something that we will continue to learn and grow in the rest of our walk, the rest of our life, and really through eternity itself. Thank you for teaching us your ways, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.